Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we're lucky we have actually some of the gin folks from New Mexico participating with Cotton Quality for the long time. And so Paul Funk is going to go first and talk about fire properties of saw and roller gin, naturally colored cotton. It's been a while.
Colored cotton.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, colored cotton came on the market in a big way, and it went out really fast. I believe at one time there were about 40,000 acres out. This is lovely New Mexico's. Come and visit us sometime. There's a long history of colored cotton going back in Mexico more than 5,000 years. And in Peru, coastal fishermen found that naturally colored fiber made a fish net that the fish couldn't see as easily, and they had a better harvest. So they've been growing very long naturally colored fibers on some of these small coastal villages in Peru. Now they found naturally colored fibers in Egyptian pyramids that they can date pretty accurately. Note the fiber length though. The Egyptian cotton is not nearly as long as the Peruvian cotton. The other thing about Peru is that British wool makers were importing long staple colored cotton from Peru, 11 different types, about 100 years ago, and blending it with their wool. China has had a history of naturally colored cotton, and USA, about 4,000 acres there just 1992. They were getting as much as $5 a pound in 1991. 1992, the farmers produced far more colored cotton than the market could absorb, and in 1997, there's only 50 acres out there. The biggest problem the naturally colored cotton producers have had is that they have to be a significant distance from white cotton so that the pollen doesn't contaminate. And when it's ginned, there's a rather extensive process of notification, separation, cleaning, and inspection that basically they want to make sure there's no way that colored cotton will contaminate next year's white cotton. Because of this, a friend of ours in California who grows naturally colored cotton said, "I need to build my own gin. What kind of gin should I build?" This is not that particular individual, this is another friend of ours, but my boss said his, and one of the best farmers in New Mexico. He came to see what we were doing. Question, what should we do, saw ginning or roller ginning? Is it going to be that much better in fiber quality that you can pay for the added cost of roller ginning? Roller ginning is a little bit slower than saw ginning, and the labor cost will be a little bit higher, but you could typically get a little more staple length out of it. So we wanted to quantify that, and then the spinning mill that buys the colored cotton, they can help the farmer decide which type of gin to build. We had two sources of naturally colored fiber. Part of it had been machine picked, and the other part had been hand picked. Came from two different locations. We also had two colors, and I'll show you pictures so you appreciate the natural color. We have a combination gin at our lab. We have a common seed cotton cleaning area, and then we go into either a saw ginning or a roller ginning. So it was easy for us to do this test. We had cooperation from Clemson, so we were able to get the APHIS work done, and we sent it to Visalia Classing Office for HVI. Here's some of the hand-picked cotton being dumped into boxes. We didn't have a lot of this material, so we were very careful to weigh each box, so we divided the lots into just enough cotton that we could fill the gin stand and keep it running in a steady state condition for a couple minutes. It was sucked out of the boxes into our seed cotton cleaning equipment. And here you can see the trash coming from the stick machine, and this is from the cylinder cleaner. Doesn't look any different than any other gin trash because these particular varieties of naturally colored cotton are an upland variety. Dump it on the floor in our saw ginning lab, and we noticed there was some contamination from the white cotton that had been ginned earlier. And here we are running it in steady state condition for a couple minutes. This is with the other color. And you can see it's got a sort of a greenish tinge to it. Fluorescent lighting isn't the best to get an appreciation for that color. We randomly treated this experiment, so we didn't know until we got to the data sheet whether we were going into the saw gin or the roller gin, whether it's going to be green or brown. Here we are in the roller gin. Same thing, dump it on the floor and then suck it up into our overhead and feed the gin stand. Person doing that is watching the overhead to make sure that we're keeping it full. Everything when the gin was set to optimize production for either for Pima or for an upland white cotton, we didn't change any of the gin stand settings. Because naturally colored cotton has a slightly shorter fiber length, it might have been better had we done that, but it would have been very difficult with the small amount of cotton we had to find out what that optimization was. So we thought better just to leave things as they are. We monitored all kinds of things, the speed of the equipment, the power used, the temperature, and that sort of stuff. Things went pretty smoothly. Once we got over our first choke up, we learned that you had to feed the colored cotton just a little bit slower than Pima cotton. For cotton that had been saw ginned, we did one stage of lint cleaning using a saw type lint cleaner. This is that lint cleaner. Just opened the door after it stopped. And that's some of the molt material that's removed by the lint cleaner. Naturally colored cotton, we have a lint cleaner in our roller ginning lab that is typical to the, what I guess they would call the Guardian lint cleaner. It has three wooden bats with these nails sticking out of it. This is a little bit gentler. It does a good job of cleaning the lint, but it doesn't contribute to broken fiber quite as much as a saw-type lint cleaner. There'll be a seminar this afternoon on lint cleaning if you want to attend that. We took samples from the lint slide as it went into the bale press. And these are the samples that were divided and sent to the classing office and to the Clemson lab for fiber analysis. Also looked at moisture and spent a little time talking about the seed. Here's our bale. It's not easy to see, but different lots are separated with brown craft paper laid in the press. And here you can see the brown craft paper. Other ones. When you roller gin an upland cotton, you take off a little bit more of the lint. And sometimes you also take off a little bit of the seed coat. And so when we started looking at the seed, we noticed a little bit of damage there. When you run a roller gin, there's some carryover, and so that has to be reclaimed and sent back. And in the end, you might end up with more, you might end up with less turnout. This is what the roller gin lint looked like. You can see a couple fragments of seed coat there. Well, how does that come after you analyze it? High volume instrument at the classing office. First of all, we want to talk about the two different, the colored versus the white cotton. This particular green cotton was a little bit longer than the brown cotton we were working with. The green cotton was really at the bottom edge of white. It's no longer a second class cotton. It's working, it's still not the best, but it's working its way up into being on par with the lower end of white cottons. The brown still has a little bit of a way to go, not quite as long as the white cotton. We found the uniformity, again, we're really approaching what you can accomplish with white cotton. Not quite good white cotton, but we're getting there. Strength, again, colored cotton has always been faulted with being weaker, but we found that because of the breeding efforts, I believe two of our samples of the four different ones had been from Sally Fox's breeding program. So she's been careful to build up the strength, and it's approaching what the low end of white would be. Where I've divided the columns, there's significant differences statistically, and where I combine them, there was no significant difference between the two. Micronair is actually in the premium range for the brown cotton. Now APHIS, again, there's I guess they're all significantly different. One thing I'd like to point out is the NEP count was fairly high. And the length, again, we're approaching the bottom end of whites with the APHIS measure of length. The main question, of course, that Jenner had was, should I buy a saw gin or a roller gin? If he roller gins his colored cotton, he's going to have an extra staple length. His uniformity will be slightly higher, and his strength will be lower. And you say, well, why is that? And we kind of puzzled this over a bit and thought, well, perhaps when the saw gin, which is a little bit more aggressive, is attacking the fiber pulling off the seed, it preferentially breaks the weaker fiber. And so you're getting rid of the weaker fiber in the saw gin because you're breaking it into something so short it doesn't get classed. That's just a theory. I don't know how to prove that. Consider that a possibility. Our nep count is lower with the roller gin, but the seed coat nep is a little bit higher. And that, again, I showed you the picture of that seed coat sitting on top of the seed pile. Last point I'd like to make is when we got done, we had to take the gin apart, clean it from the very top to the very bottom. And that took a lot of man hours. We did this quite a while ago, and every time our ginner turns the gin on, a little piece of colored cotton comes out. Waves in my face. So naturally colored cottons, they really are doing a good job with the breeding program, and I think we're going to see more naturally colored cotton. I heard from a grower in California that he got $5 a pound here pretty recently, and that's the only way you can pay for $700 an acre foot water, is to do something special. It adds a staple length if you roller gin it. You reduce your short fiber content, but you may have a few more naps. So it's up to the person purchasing this cotton. There's a Japanese spinning mill. They're the main market at the moment. Hopefully some more people will come along and say this is a good idea. Making something out of naturally colored cotton, your fiber is more expensive, but you don't have the cost of dyeing it. And from what I've read, that's about 15% of the value of the garment. So the textile industry may have a motivation to do that. All right, reached the end of my time, so I've opened it up now if anyone has some questions. Yes, sir.
$5 price is current one. So back in 91 when we were doing the Sally Fox stuff, it was much less than that.
Okay. Mr. Ambers?
And I'm amazed at how the fiber properties have improved. I think the average strength was about 18 grams back then.
That may support the higher price. The other thing I heard is that it's being blended with organically grown Pima. And by the way, all this colored cotton is organically produced. The market is kind of sensitive to that sort of thing. By blending with the Pima, then they get more length and a smaller diameter, so they get a nicer yarn, but it's still naturally colored. Yes?
I have a question.
Yes,
Kyle, compare the cost of roller gin and saw gin in case of the original. For
the colored cotton is a small pound, but for white cotton, how much more expensive for roller gin in the sense of 2 cents per pound or something? The best person to answer that question is not myself, it's Carlos Armijo. Carlos, do you
want
to take that one?
Roller gin costs, standard roller gin costs is about 27% higher than saw gin. I don't know.
Well, talk about the super hot rod roller gin.
But if you use high speed roller gin, the cost comes down just as you value. So the standard roller gin is that figure came from a cost survey that some of the calculators were
pretty. Another question is I saw in the data with saw gin, it's a little bit. Shorter, roller gin is a little bit longer. Then I wonder if anybody in the gin industry did some research. If you gin is gentle, but the textile process is not that gentle either. You know, really what the fiber length counts for the final product is what went into yarn. So I don't know if you gin it late as you mentioned, the strength is actually for saw gin is high. So some weaker fibers will be broke in the process, either in the ginning process or in the textile process. I would be interested to see if the roller gin, the cotton longer, will last after time. That would be really
interesting. Well, it sounds like the research project we're trying to get it.
Yeah. I was going to say that would be the next step, is to see if we can spend some of this. And I take it, I'm not familiar with what the done back in 1997, they must have spun yarn from some of the colored cotton. What were the yarn characters?
I don't have that in the too much time.
I'll answer some of that. It was horrible. And he talked about chinning speeds. Back then, we chinned at Union Co-op. They ran about 21 bales an hour. And the New Year's Day that we were ginning the colored cotton, we were doing about 8 bales an hour. And waste was pretty bad. Sally Fox tried to get us to buy something. She said, textile mills don't like lint cleaners, so we don't want to do that. And after looking at some, there were seed coat fragments all over the place. And 17 bales that we ended up with that were not run through the lint cleaner, we did run them through the lint cleaner at the compress and ended up with 13 bales. So there's quite a bit of loss, but in the textile mill, we had problems all over the place with it. Just wasn't. At that time, you had what, staple of 28, 27, or 28, which is totally different from what I've seen here today. And, it was horrible back then. It was a problem getting rid of it, too.
Yeah.
That program fell apart.
I think if we do spin yarn, they may be waving it in my face, too.
I will say from experience, you will keep getting yeah. colored cotton out of your car.
I know that from we've tried to spin flax in there. John Folt never hears the end of that.
It's been about 5 years since we ran it through our cars in New Orleans, so that kicks out.
EcoSport made some fabrics, and then L.L. Bean sold some sweaters, and I have a very beautiful red and green and various shades of red, the brown and green, I should say, of it. It's my love-hate sweater. Dealing with the thing. But it is a beautiful sweater, and I enjoy showing it to people. So there were some fabrics made out of it that were great. I still have a pair of jeans that were made out of it, but there wasn't a market for it.
I think that idea of Turkey, Germany, Switzerland, Poland, we did a lot of work on green and brown cotton. And Turkey is growing, quite a lot of also in Greece, in Israel,
China too,
in China. But it's a very, very small market because, you are basically too hard. So dressing everybody in brown and greens is kind of the Germans like that, but
yeah, that's a good note to move on. Before we get in more political correctness.
So thank you, Paul.